country music isn't what it used to be. It's not like this isolated music that only a small group of people know. It's so crossover. It's so big now. You know, Blake Shelton is a huge star. He's a host of The Voice, and he's marrying Gwen Stefani. And, you know, you listen to his music, and it doesn't sound like old school country. It's very, people love it. It's like, it's very crossover. I have friends that listen to rap and country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, rap music has gotten kind of mainstream, just as country music has. So people just listen. It's just pop music now. It's all one genre. I feel like the stuff that Blake Shelton is writing is no different than the stuff that like Maroon 5 is writing or Cardi B is writing. It's
same writers. I mean, it's probably the same guys that write every single song.
Well, it's the same producers. It's funny you would say that. There are a lot of producers that produce pop stars, and they produce rap stars, and they produce country stars. They're just producers, you know? So when Blake Shelton came out with this song and he played it on New Year's Eve, you know, screw me. I listened to it and I liked it, but apparently I was supposed to hate it because it was incredibly tone deaf.
Because it's a country song. I mean, if you go back to the beginning days of the country music, it sounded like this.
There's a tear in my beer, 'cause I'm crying for you, dear.
Right.
This is not a crossover.
You're on my lonely mind.
I like this because it's very bluesgrassy. I love bluegrass.
Beers, I helped shed a million tears.
So country has made a big 180 since this.
Yeah. It's evolved like all music has. I mean, even pop music back in the day was crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's gotten a lot better. It's, you know, when you listen to, like, I don't know, some of those idiots back in the 60s compared to like Adele, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so Blake Shelton had this song that he played on New Year's Eve, New Year's Rockin' Eve, or whatever show he was on, that I was like, oh, great song. He introduced a new song called Minimum Wage, and people went ballistic because they felt like, here's this multimillionaire. He's worth $100 million, according to Forbes. Mm-hmm. And here he is singing about what life is like to live at minimum wage and how tone deaf he is. People are getting very upset about it. And he ignored it all. But for some reason, it's gotten more steam. People are getting more upset, so he had to acknowledge it. Okay? Here's the song. I'm going to play for you the part that people were very upset about.
You can make a six-pack on the carpet, taste like $1 million bill. You can make a one-bedroom apartment feel like a house up on a hill. You can make my truck out.
There you go. Okay, so that's what people are upset about right there. So people were saying, like, here's some of the tweets. Does anyone find Blake Shelton's minimum wage song incredibly tone deaf in our country's current state? Blake Shelton singing, your love can make a man feel rich on minimum wage, just cements the fact that rich people have absolutely no friggin' clue. Let's see, a mega millionaire romanticizing a minimum wage is peak 2020. Blake Shelton could go F himself.
Wow. So did Blake write this song, though, or did a bunch of other people write it and just offer it to him? Yeah, I would like to know who wrote it.
Yeah, it was produced by a guy named Scott Hendricks, who produces, a lot of artists. Trace Adkins, Faith Hill, Alan Jackson, Brooks and Dunn. I mean, this guy has really been around. And it was written by these two other dudes, Jesse Frazier and a woman named Nicole Galen. So people are really angry. He didn't even write this song.
Told you. I mean, they go into the studio and they look through a catalog and they listen to certain songs that people have written. And they say, yeah, I want to do that one.
Right. And it's crazy because if you look at, so the guy who wrote the song, you know who he works with? Kylie Minogue, Meghan Trainor, mm-hmm. Florida Georgia Line, Hot Shell Ray, Jordan Sparks, Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne, Drake. See, this is what I was talking about earlier, CeeLo. So this isn't a guy that even only does country music. He's just a guy that does music.
He's a guy that can rhyme words.
That's right.
He just happens to be good at rhyming.
Yeah, and it's crazy because if you look at like his awards and his singles and stuff, there's country, there's rap, it's mm-hmm. every kind of genre you could possibly think of, pop, you know, whatever. So everyone's getting mad at Blake Shelton because he's the face of the song. You know, so yeah, you're right to make a good point, like that he didn't write it, that he's just the, like Rihanna, he's a hired gun, you know, right. He's not really the person whose song this is. So, you know, even though Blake Shelton is just the face of the song, he's got nothing to do with it other than the fact that he sang it and people think it's his song. I guess technically it is, but he's not going to make the money off of it. The writers and producers will. He still felt the need to defend it. So today he spoke to CMT and he said, listen, I know that now I'm successful, but for most of my career, I had no money. I was struggling. I would write a song and then I would go like sleep on someone's couch. You know, like most artists, I started out super poor with nothing but a dream and, you know, hopefully talent. Mm-hmm. So I know that I don't work for minimum wage now, but I can relate to that, what that was like, because that was most of my life up until recently. So that was his defense of it.
Now, his record company said, here's a song, record this. And he went, okay. And we went in and recorded it. So that's how that happened. And he was, you know, 30 years ago poor, but he's not even close to it now.
No, but that's the thing. So is it his responsibility to defend the song? I guess.
Well, you have to, because it's your song. It's on the chart. So you got to defend it.
Right.
You know.
Right. I mean, you chose to sing it. I mean, it's not like, listen, I've been in these meetings before. I remember some record friends of mine brought me in with, they had a meeting with Clive Davis. Hmm. And he had all of these songs and he was presenting them to Kelly Clarkson. So they played all these songs and they said, you know, choose one, basically. And it was a song that was written by Macy Gray that they were going to have Macy Gray do. And instead, they gave it to Kelly Clarkson. Mm-hmm. So it just has to do with what worked for that artist at that time. Kelly Clarkson probably has written many of her own songs and maybe wrote a lot of songs back then. But the record label decided, you're going to do this song now.
Well, like Sia. Sia wrote how many songs, and then she wrote Chandelier, and she went, you know what? I'm not giving this to anybody. I'm going to do it.
Right. That's a great example.
So she went in and did that. So here's a country guy, this guy named Chris Jansen.
Okay.
But he writes a lot of songs for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So he decided to come out with his own song, write it and sing on it. And this is a great song.
I ain't rich, but I damn sure want to be.
So he ain't rich, but he damn sure want to be.
Working like a dog all day ain't working for me.
See, he ain't talking about being rich.
I wish I had a rich uncle that had kicked the bucket and I was sitting on a pile like Warren Buffett.
So your cousin would get the money, not you.
Yeah.
Money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck.
Money can't buy me happiness, but it can buy me a boat.
And a truck.
But it can buy me a boat.
Yeah, it can buy you a boat. You know, the big issue I have with this song is that he's like, I don't have a rich uncle. You know, you make the assumption that because you have a rich uncle, the money's going to you. It's not. It's going to your rich aunt. And then it's going to their kids. You're not even on the list.
No, not only if it's like your father are you going to get money. And maybe even that time you're not going to get money. Because other people are going to come in and get it. But you can hope. You know, we all hope that one day our uncle will die and leave us money, but it never happens.
No, because your uncle will leave it to your cousins, his kids.
Yeah, I do have
they're first on the list.
I do have an uncle that's a piece of work. Let me just say that. And he's actually cheaper than I am. Whoa. So, no, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him spend a dime. And he keeps all of his money and he keeps it in the walls and whatever. So I know when he dies, I ain't going to get a dime.
Yeah, I got an uncle that has money on my dad's side, and he has no kids, and his wife died, my aunt died. He married this other woman who also had no kids, and we've already found out that they're leaving every dime to charity, which is great. I'm happy that they are, but, you know, hi.
I'm Cherry.
I'm your only niece right over here. I mean, I'm sure the cats or the animal charity you're going to leave it to would be great, but, you know, just give me a little bit.
See, that would be a big kick in my face if my uncle left his money to a dog.